He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, what do you think about that snow?
Holy smokes, man. I haven't seen snow like that, like I mentioned on my Facebook, since I lived in Nelson, British Columbia when I was like a kid. And it just keeps snowing and snowing and snowing. And then we had company coming for dinner, and I said to you, do you think they'll cancel because of the snow? And you said, Tracy, it's a way of life here, right? They're used to it. The snow plows are out. Before you know it, the streets are clean.
That's why I have no life here. You see, it's a way of life, and there's a lot of snow. I don't really want to live here. No, I'm just kidding. It is pretty to look at. And even walking around in it, it's very cool, as long as you're dressed for it. I still prefer the Bermuda shorts and tank tops of the Hawaiian lifestyle. But we are here, and you can't change the weather. You can, of course, change your thermostat inside the house or a little apartment where we live, and that's kind of cool. And so I'm reminded of how technology can really help improve our lives.
Absolutely. As long as you're dressed for it and there's no wind, I'm a happy camper. It takes me an extra 10 or 15 minutes to walk to the studio because I do two steps forward and one step back when you're walking in the heavy snow. I only had one wipeout, and I picked myself up and dusted myself off. I didn't look around to see if anybody noticed that I wiped out.
Well, I think that taking vitamins, dietary supplements, which some people think are not natural and artificial and they don't require, I think it's very much like the way that we live inside. Like right now we're inside this really nice apartment, but outside it's like -5 centigrade. It's freezing.
Yeah.
If I was outside, bare boned, it would be very difficult for me to be happy, you see. So I think taking supplements and taking all the natural remedies is just like how we utilize technology to improve the quality of our lives.
Yeah, I'd like to see you out there butt naked running around in the snow. I'm sure we could get a little crowd going.
I did do that polar bear swim once in Vancouver. And I came out, and I just was pale and white,
yeah.
And I'm still freezing down to the bone from that experience.
Yeah.
But the secret is to heat up before you do it and then jump back into the hot pool.
Exactly.
Remember those hot pools we used to go to in the springs? And they had the combo where you'd freeze in the ice water and then go in the super hot and go back and forth. Now, that was very cool.
That's hydrotherapy, absolutely. Anyway, I would like to say, speaking on the cold weather note, if you're living in the cold weather note, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. You know, it's a new year. It's 2013. Whatever that means to anybody, I know what it means to you, Corey. We don't have to get into a big song and dance about New Year's. I just wanted to say Happy New Year. It's a new year, and it's going to be a great year. Last year was a wonderful year, and this year is going to be even a better year.
Yes, it is star date 2013.09,
oh, smarty pants,
which is very cool. So what you do is starting at day one, which is January the 1st, you just count the days through the calendar. So when you're into February and March, you actually count that particular day from where you started. It could be day 44. So it would be star date 2013.44.
Oh, right.
I like that system.
All right, already.
Okay, so what's cooking?
What's cooking is bison or buffalo meatloaf. Now, I've made this before, except I have a little twist to this one because I only had so much. You know, I didn't go shopping that day because of the big snowstorm, and we had company coming for dinner, and I was very cold outside and lots of snow, and I thought, a nice buffalo meatloaf would be really good. So that's what I did. I went out and I got some, mind you, it was frozen, so I had to thaw the extra lean bison. And because it was extra lean, I was a little, you know, it is extra lean. You don't want to overcook it. But the bison meat is recommended for a heart-healthy diet. Buffalo is high in protein, iron, minerals, alanine, carnosine, creatine, and B12. Great bodybuilding food. So rather than eating just regular ground beef, right, Cor?
Well, a note for the vegetarians, the vegetables and grain diet has absolutely zero amounts of carnosine, carnitine, creatine, and B12. Now, this is the argument for consuming flesh, and we need these elements in order to sustain us in times of stress. And there's no such thing as any living organism that is not engaged in the bubble of stress. Stress is a function of life. So now carnosine in particular is very cool. You cannot get carnosine unless you eat flesh. That's the only source. And carnitine is a dipeptide. And we know about oxidation of free radicals, but glycation is another sequence of changes that is associated with deceleration of aging and damage and blindness and artery diseases. So carnosine in the buffalo meat is just an incredible, valuable nutrient. And you can buy this supplement also if you are a vegetarian, but I think that's one of the virtues of the buffalo and the bison meat.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you very much.
Well, why would you say it when you have me to say it? So
exactly.
You go ahead here. Keep on shaking up the bison meatloaf.
Well, I made this meatloaf, and I like it. You know, I had it a little on the not super cooked side, and I think one of my company didn't quite, I mean, she probably had a little bit of a problem. She likes her meat well done, right? But I said, you know, it's better to cook the meat rare, and then you can cook it longer, but if it's already overcooked, you can't do anything with it, and I don't like overcooked meat. Anyway, what I did, I had 2 pounds of extra lean ground bison. Then I put in 1 cup of cooked yams, 1 cup of goat feta cheese crumbled up, 1/2 cup of finely chopped yellow onions, 2 tablespoons of Mrs. Dash, 1 tablespoon of crushed chilies, 1/2 cup of sherry, and 1/2 cup of Bragg's. And then I mixed it all together with my hands, mixed it all up, put a lot of loving and a hugging and a kissing. And then I put it into a nice loaf pan, cooked it at 350 for about 45 minutes. When you start to smell it, you know that it's cooking. And then I take it out and I check it. I cut it in half and see how it's doing. And I might be happy with it, or I put it back in. Everybody's ovens are different.
Yes, and when you start to smell it, to me, that's like a dinner bell.
Yeah.
You know, that's when all the kids come into the kitchen asking Mom, hey, when's dinner, Mom?
And then I paired it with some nice organic purple kale and some nice spaghetti squash. So that
was
really
a beautiful
good
combo. Once again, you hit the nail right on the head with the combination, the texture, the harmony of the blend of eating it was just beautiful. I have to say, it was very delicious, honey.
Well, thanks. And then I had my nice ghee, so that was good. So I didn't put anything, no spices, no herbs, nothing on the spaghetti squash or the kale. I just left the ghee, and if somebody wanted a little salt and pepper, they can. But yeah, it was quite nice, and it was very warming, wasn't it? Because I started off with my carrot orange soup, and then I had my really nice avocado dressing green salad with the pumpkin seeds. So it was all in all, it was pretty darn good.
Well, I'm sure that the bison of the old would have been here in Vernon, in this valley, you know, munching on their natural food.
Yes.
And I know that they did migrate and they went down south. There was 2 different species of the bison. The buffalo actually is not the correct term, which I learned long ago. That's the water buffalo in Africa.
Yes.
So these are the bison, and they're such beautiful creatures, and they are so nutritive. They're just a great, dense source of all the vitamins and the minerals and the elements. And obviously, the Indians lived on them as a primary food staple.
Well, I had, for my lunch the next day, all I had a cold. I just had my couple of pieces of cold bison meatloaf with some nice Dijon mustard. And I tell you, I was full for hours.
Yeah, it really sticks to your ribs.
Yeah, I
almost
even
like oatmeal. It just
really,
it's a slow-burning, dense, very heavy. But it's kind of like a fluffy but not stuffy. It's heavy but not to the point where you're like laying there on a couch and you've eaten so much food you can't move. It's not like that.
No.
It's a very functional food, I find.
Yes, it is. So eat more bison.
Right on. Good stuff. Well, that was a great recipe. Moving on, who was our last month's special guest?
Our last month's special guest was Dr. Seema Kanwal. Seema lives in Vancouver, and Seema has a multidimensional practice. She works with post and premenopause, sports injuries, hormonal imbalances, fertility issues, and the list goes on. She's quite eclectic, actually. And one of the things that she does, which you guys discussed, was the prolotherapy, pain, muscle, joint, instead of cortical steroids, which weaken the area. So what she does is she injects this 4-inch needle, apparently, 22 gauge, and it makes your body stronger. It stimulates the body's own healing process to support the inflammation process, right? We always try to keep that inflammation down, and she says you want to support the inflammation.
Well, the joint capsule is very difficult to get at.
Yeah.
The vascular network, the capillaries, the blood vessels can't get at it. So hydration is always the best thing when it comes to joint capsule health. You know, they dry up. That's one of the first things that dries up in your body is your joints. They start creaking. But this type of therapy is non-conventional, which almost always, from my point of view, means it has more value than the conventional process of just cutting people's legs apart and ripping into the tissue. You know, doctors just love to cut us open and take stuff out, don't they?
There's a time and a place. But she says that she studies, like, for her light reading would be anatomy, because you really need to know anatomy. And she says most doctors don't want to get into that so much, because you need to be really precise when you're injecting those needles. So good on you, Seema.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, she also taught the PSN, the Principles of Sport Nutrition Program.
She certainly did.
Useful Fit, which was wonderful to see them moving that forward. And for everyone out there listening, if you're a CSNA, you need your CSNA master's degree to actually teach this program. You download the entire program, and you could be in Germany, the Netherlands, you could be anywhere on the planet. Download this program. It's got the tutorials, it's got the PDFs, it's got the exams, everything that you need to actually begin teaching this to your own students so you can generate revenue. And teaching is its own reward.
And teaching the world about what you know. Sports nutrition is about life, right? And the master's program is a video, a YouTube video. So that's pretty cool, because that's the way things are going today with education. It's online, right? So we're ahead of the game, honey.
Absolutely.
You
know, making a full-length documentary is one thing, but this is just a 10-minute presentation. You know, you could be in the gym, you could be hiking, you could be skiing, whatever it is. You could be in the kitchen, you know, making a shake, whatever. But the creativity involved, you actually become sort of a producer of your own movie, which is very cool.
Yes, and I just want to say again, thank you, Seema, for your fantastic interview.
Right, so what's going on with our CHI update?
CHI update. Well, it was the Christmas and the holidays and that, and I got my hand in. I made a Peking duck. I love Google and YouTube, because, you know, you can find out a lot about how to make things or how to do tutorials and things like that. So that was the Peking duck. I made it the real traditional way of Peking duck. Well, let's just say the Western traditional way.
Well, I thought it was fairly authentic. You know, I've been to China. I don't recall having the Peking duck. And I know that the food that I've eaten there, it's the same thing all over the world. You come back to North America and there's this kind of distilled, watered down, altered, modified version
of everything. Yes, exactly.
Yes. But it was very good. And I think that you basically were trying to get into, I don't know, scoring points with Mike, of course, Ruby's husband, because wasn't he the one that kind of wanted the Peking duck?
Well, I've always wanted to make duck. I've never made duck before, and there's not a lot of meat on a whole duck anyway, but, you know, it was, yeah, I've got it under my belt. I don't know if I would do it again. I had to fan dry the duck for about, it said about 6 hours. I did it for about 4 or 5 hours. Fan dry, put a fan on it, so you really get that skin. There's no water left in it, and it just makes the skin really crispy. I made the pancakes. I made my own hoisin sauce. It was pretty darn good, I got to tell you. But, you know, I would use that maybe as an appetizer next time, not as the main course. I had other things with the dinner as well, but I did that. So I was very pleased that I had done that.
Well, when I was carving it up, I started, you know, the guy that gets to carve the turkey.
Maybe that's why there wasn't that much
to have
on it.
First pick at all the good stuff.
You little bugger.
To turn it upside down, and I like some of the organs that are present there and some of the bones, and I like biting the meat off the bone. But anyway, it was delicious, I have to say. I haven't eaten a lot of duck. I'll eat pretty much anything, as long
that's
as I know
true.
That it is not going to damage me. That's the criteria.
Well, I've been telling everybody there's not a lot of meat on the duck, but you were in the kitchen carving and eating it, you little bugger. You little brat. I remember you doing that with the chicken one time, too. Anyways, what's new? I'm checking out the Literary Junction.
I mean, you're actually teaching kids how to read, so this is
yeah, exactly. So it's a one-to-one. It's an hour and a half a week. I get three kids, each a half an hour, and it's a school just up the street. I have to get checked out. I have to see if I have a criminal record.
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm going to find out some stuff about you tonight.
Yeah, maybe. But I just have a little of energy, and I thought it would be really great. Someone had mentioned it to me. And I failed grade one because I couldn't read. Well, I was held back. That was the word they used in grade one, and my teacher said that I would make it up, so I did grade three and grade four together.
So you were held back, you weren't removed.
No, So grade one, I failed because I couldn't read. So I have a passionate about this and also firsthand experience about not being able to read when I was younger. So I really want to help these kids, and I'm honored that I get to work with them. So I'll keep everybody updated on that.
I just hate that terminology that we relate to, like our experience as failing.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people grow up thinking that they're a failure because they failed, and that's,
exactly.
And yet they theoretically and potentially could be superhuman beings, but they themselves hold themselves back because they believe the lie they were told that they were some kind of failure because they couldn't meet someone else's expectation.
That's right.
Exactly. By the way, when we examine that, is mostly horse pucky anyway.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'll keep everybody updated. I am having a series of Bollywood fitness and dance workshops. And I love Bollywood, and we've been watching Bollywood movies for years, and these Bollywood movies go on for 4 and 5 hours. Cripes, I can clean the house, go grocery shopping, come back, and this movie's still on. And some of them are kind of corny, but really, at the end of the day, there's a lot of good storyline to it, right?
Well, for sure, absolutely. I never knew the extent of the love of movies by Indians until I went to India, and I was in some small little town, little village, and it was Sunday, and I just saw masses of people going down to this building, which happened to be like a movie theater, and they're all dressed up, actually.
Oh!
They get dressed up to go to movies. At least that was my experience back in the 80s when I went to that region of India, because, you know, when you say you go to India, it's a huge country.
Yes.
It's multicultural, there's different religions and different areas, you know, from one to the other. It's like living in I don't know, parts of Canada, like, say, the Yukon Territories, and comparing that to being in St. John's, New Brunswick or something, right?
Right. Well, Bollywood comes from Bombay. Bombay, which is now Mumbai, Bombay is where they have all the movie industry. That's Bombay's Hollywood, so it ended up calling Bollywood. But Bollywood dancing is a combination of Indian folk, Arabic, hip-hop, Latin, and disco. So you add all that together, and you come up with Bollywood dancing. So I think I found my niche, and I am really surprised how popular this is. I got, because I'm doing 2-hour workshops for 3 weekends. And if this goes really well, I'll be continuing in this vein in February and March. I won't do 2-hour classes. I'll just do hour classes. But I am really surprised how aerobic and the endurance and how challenging it is.
What I like about Bollywood that we talked about last night is that the man doesn't lead. There's actually no partners. You can just get up and move your body, and it's a little bit different than, say, ballroom dancing, isn't it?
Yes, but the beauty about what I'm really enjoying is the fact of working with bare feet, because using your bare feet, you really get to feel your feet. You get to feel the toes, the ball of the foot, the arches, the heels. You get to use the ankles and not have support from a shoe. And this is the part that I'm really excited about, is teaching people how to use their feet, because it's going to help them in their sport and also in dance.
Yeah, no doubt. So that is something that I guess you start on Saturday, don't you?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm having fun. My legs are killing me from doing all my squat stuff from, you know, the Bollywood. But anyways, I'll keep you posted on how that's going.
Yeah, great. Now, I do want to make a comment here. I see the list on the encyclopedia, which, my goodness, it's finally available. It's online. If you go to our site, like ebooks, and then you'll see the link for the encyclopedia, which is a reference guide, which is not necessarily designed to be read from beginning to end. I took the entire course, I stripped it down, so the framework of the CSNA is inside of it, and then I built around it, I updated it, I put in 25% more information, new information, and now that's going to be a reference guide, an encyclopedia that the principal of sports nutrition or the PSN students will have to use to read as part of their examination. And then we're going to design a whole bunch of new mini courses that use the encyclopedia as a reference in order to complete the exam process.
Oh, I know, and I'm so thrilled. You know, we've been talking about this. We call it the reference guide, but it is an encyclopedia, but you use it as a reference guide, and I'm just so proud of you, honey. You did a great job on that.
Well, it's 1,046 pages.
Well, I don't think anybody would think anything nonless.
It's great for writers, for researchers. If you are writing a book, or if you're writing an article, or if you just want to look up something, you know, what I love is the bookmark. You know, it's an e-read. It's an e-book. It's in an Adobe PDF format. You can print it off. You know, it's a great big thick mother, too, when you print it.
Yeah.
But it's designed to be used as a research tool. So you just click bookmarks, and you go through this thing. And what I love also is where you click edit, and then you scroll down to advanced search, and then you just plug in, say, glycation, or you plug in carnitine. And everywhere in that 1,000-page document, you're going to find out where that word is, and then you're going to see a line that describes the context of the word. So it's just brilliant. I use it all the time myself when I'm writing, because nobody can remember everything, and the sports nutrition is so expansive, it's impossible to retain it all. So you need to have these research books to keep updated and to answer questions. And it's also ideal for an e-reader, like an iPad, where a personal trainer could install it into that iPad and then use it to answer questions with clients right in the gym floor.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, even for health food store owners or chiropractors or doctors or massage therapists or whatever, it's just a really handy-dandy tool. Anyways, that's our update.
Right on. And just a quick mention, it's been 6 months since I started training for Mr. Hawaii. And right now I just started my third mesocycle, which now I'm increasing the volume, increasing the number of sets and exercises. It's very exhausting. I find that by nature I like the heavy lifting, the triples, the sixes with heavy weight. But you start getting into 15, 18, 25 reps per set, it's an entirely different experience, but it does capillarize the body. It floods the system with blood. There's an engorgement, and that's part of what bodybuilding is all about, making yourself on stage look, you know, like you're a balloon, like a Michelin man, all solid muscle, right?
That's right.
And you get that water in there, you get the create, you get the glutamine, and you keep the fat really low, and then, of course, we start our posing pretty soon, don't we?
That's right. We sure do. We know what music we're going to use, and I'm looking forward to that.
Right on. Okay, good. So that was a great SNU, he said, she said, dear. What is your final word?
My final word is by John Burroughs. One resolution I have made and try always to keep is this: to rise above the little things.